Hello, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports Live Reaction Show. My name is Roddy DeBolsey. I'm joined by Anthony Dasher, the managing editor of UGASports.com. We appreciate all of you joining us. Means a lot to us. Big breaking news, Anthony, in that Caleb Downs, the All-American safety from Alabama, plans to enter the transfer portal.
I think that's beyond huge news. Caleb was the top player at his position last year as a true freshman. I mean, led Alabama in tackles, just a tremendous, tremendous player. And I know, Georgia fans right now are kind of frothing right now, thinking of, Caleb Downs and Malachi Starks there back. In fact, John Garcia, Rivals, had a tweet just a little bit ago, like if that were to come to pass, that's a game changer. That's a game changing type situation. If you get somebody of Caleb Downs,
Let me ask you, you lose Javon Bullard
at
the safety spot.
Yeah.
You replace him with Caleb Downs. Javon Bullard is a badass.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is. He's no slouch.
No.
And you could think about this. If I told you, you lose Javon Bullard, but you're going to upgrade at safety, would you believe me? Now, it's not happened.
Caleb Downs would have been the only player I would say, yeah, they upgraded, because anybody else, I'd be no way in hell that was going to happen because, Javon Bullard again. This is a guy who was a defensive MVP in the semifinals against Ohio State and the national championship against TCU. This is a legit player. Yeah, I know he may be a little small. Not the biggest dude in the world, but, man, nobody hit harder than Javon Bullard. But
ask Harrison.
Could add Caleb Downs to the mix now.
In your story, you mentioned that he was the first freshman to lead the team in tackles since 1970.
Yeah, at Alabama.
At Alabama.
Yeah.
His 107 tackles were the most by Alabama freshman in 50 years?
Yeah. You have to, really go back to some really crazy Alabama history to see where he's kind of located at, right now. So, it's nuts.
Yeah, this is nuts. Now, who is – again, we're we're putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
Let's point out Caleb Downs, his plans to enter the portal.
Yeah,
Not officially in yet. And, guys, we've seen this happen where someone says they're going to put their name – two of Georgia's defensive backs said they were going to go into the portal and then change your mind. So –
And I promise you that Coach DeBoer is not going to just let him go into the portal without making, at least one more pitch.
Let Travaris Robinson leave.
Exactly. I'm quite sure Nick Saban, who is still over there, is going to be involved on how to try to convince him to stay. But if he does follow through like we think he's going to do, man, that's going to send reverberations throughout college football, to be quite honest with you. Because he's the biggest name to go in the portal so far.
Yeah, Walter Nolan was big, Evan Stewart, but this one, talk about proven.
Yeah.
Quashawn Judkins is also proven, but I'm with you there. He's got to be in the number one top guy. Again, for him to make that big an impact as a true freshman, man, y'all need to understand, Kirby Smart knew this was coming. I don't mean the going into the transfer portal. When Georgia missed out on Caleb Downs as a prospect, Kirby Smart was heart hurt because he wanted him badly. Hey, he liked him.
Yeah, they put a lot of effort into him.
Yeah, a ton of effort. I think he was like the number nine player in the country. They knew he was big. They knew he was good. And they knew that they let one get away that they really, really wanted. Of course, there was an issue with the fact that Georgia didn't go after his older brother. And that kind of played into it a little bit. I don't know. People say there was a lot of resentment when the family towards the younger one. I don't know that. A lot of people say that, claim that, but let's let the past be the past. What I heard last year when Georgia was going after KJ Bolden was they did not want another, and I quote, Caleb Downs situation, i.e. have an impact player who leaves the state of Georgia and not only goes to a different team, but goes to one of your main rivals, a guy that you've faced who's really tough, it's a double whammy. It's just like taking Travaris Robinson away from Alabama.
Yeah.
Not only do you take away one of their best, but now he goes against them. Well, it was the same way with Caleb Downs going to Alabama. You lose him, which is bad enough, but now he goes and plays against you, which is a double whammy. It's a lose-lose. Kirby did not want to have that happen again. He really wanted Caleb, and that's why they went so hard after KJ Bolden.
Yeah.
Caleb Downs didn't want to – you can't let two of those guys in back-to-back years get away. And Georgia did everything they could to get KJ, and it worked. Now, all of a sudden, you have a chance to not only – didn't miss on KJ, but you could rectify dash a transgression, an error, a miss, you could heal your heart by getting the guy that set you on the path to getting KJ because you didn't want, in other words, you could have your cake and eat it too. And I just don't know how to put that into words because this would be big for Georgia, but we do have a lot of people say, hey, look, he could also go to Ohio State. Georgia wound up third. Actually, he was third mm-hmm. in the so. What do you think about maybe the impact of Georgia finally getting their man and or the threat Ohio State poses?
Well, obviously, can't overlook Ohio State. Ohio State, I'm sure, is going to go full in, on Caleb as well. But, this is a very good – another great example of why Kirby Smart does not burn bridges with players. Yeah. I mean, I know you see some fans a lot of times if something doesn't go your way, don't get those recruits, people will say, well, screw it. Screw that guy. I mean, you don't need to –
you don't do that.
You don't do that, folks. You don't do it because you never know what might happen. And now Georgia, because of the way, Coach Smart has handled the situation, I think by everybody's opinion right now is going to have a chance to get him in the fold. So, yeah, you never burn bridges. It's tempting it might be sometimes to tell some recruit you really want to kick rocks or whatever. You don't do that. That's not how you work things. That's how, that's not how Kirby Smart does his business.
I think B. Schaefer has a good point here. He says all that could be overcome, especially with T-Rob on the staff. That's again, big. I don't – what happened earlier, in the recruitment, the fact that he did not pick Georgia, it's a year later. Any perceived injuries, injustices, whatever, can be smoothed over. Hey, we're all a year older. And now it is more of a business.
It's more of a business. And I think having Travis Robinson on staff is beyond huge. Now, and I don't know if that's the reason that Coach Mark brought Coach Robinson on is because, I don't think it was. But that's just kind of how it worked out, I think. And that's something I think they're going to be able, maybe to take advantage of.
Oh, you're right. That wasn't – and you told me about it. You were the first person. I got to give Dash credit, folks. And a lot of people joking, hey, it's a big day when Dash comes on here.
Yeah. It is.
Well, Dash is usually busy. So when I'm when I'm doing my idiot TikToks and YouTube live shows, because Dash is actually working. We got somebody piloting a ship. I can just screw around on TikTok and YouTube. But to your point, Dash was the first to tell me that Georgia was looking at Travis Robinson to replace Will Muschamp. And I'm like, well, where the hell is Will Muschamp going? Mm-hmm. Just saying he could be retiring. He could be stepping down. And you told me a week, 10 days before it happened, and I was kind of stunned. And then we both decided – we were watching to see if Will Muschamp went on the recruiting trail. And he did. And so we thought, okay, well, this probably won't happen until like after signing day. And then, of course, the next day, all the news popped off, so you were ahead of it. The reason I bring that up is not to pat you on the back, because I don't give out compliments. It's to say that this was independent of – A, the retirement of Nick Saban.
Yeah.
B, the potential destinations for Caleb Downs.
Yeah.
Georgia landing Travis Robinson. When you've recruited as many top guys as Travis Robinson has, wherever he goes, there are going to be kids looking to go play for him that he previously recruited because he is a elite recruiter. He has a lot of kids come after him. So, but to the Schaefer's point there, it is a big deal because that the guy that won the sweepstakes was at Alabama. Now he's at Georgia. So even if Caleb was going in and say, look, I don't want to play for Kalen DeBoer. Let me look around. Do I want to go to Ohio State? Do I want to go to Georgia? Do I want to go to Texas? A lot of people talking about Texas money in there. And it'd be gigantic. Texas handing out Lamborghinis. stuff like that. To that point, having the coach that you've already played for, that you made All-American as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
You were one of the most impactful guys in the SEC in your first year. You get to go play for that coach and another coach you like.
Your family's less than an hour away. I mean, there's a lot of pros, that I mean, from Houston, I mean, that's just up the road from
Athens. Yeah, technically you can make it in 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's not far.
Depending on which route you take and there's a hay truck going down the road or not. Mm-hmm. There's a good question there. What does this mean about KJ Bolden? Talk about what about Jake Pope, who's transferred to Georgia, who's also a safety? What does this mean for Dan Jackson? Mm-hmm. Before we get into that, I do want to answer this one. Was a UGA NIL package prepared for this situation? Yes, that's why we went on the vault at UGA Sports and told people that Georgia was in the running. Mm-hmm. Were the possibility to occur that Caleb Downs entered the transfer portal, Georgia was working on
that. Georgia has not been called blind by this situation.
Because everyone knew there was a possibility. Yeah. So what do you, you don't wait until after he jumps in the portal to put your package together. Start calling people now and say, hey, do you want this kid to be the face of your company? This is probably what he's going to ask for. So if you're Delta, mm-hmm. Home Depot, John's Quick Stop, you tell him, hey, I'm in for X. If he does, so that when he pops in the portal, you can hit him up right away and say, hey, this is what we have for you. Mm-hmm. But to your point, what does this mean for the other guys?
Well, for a guy like KJ Bolden, I don't think it means anything at all. I mean, KJ can also go and play some star. I mean, that's a spot I believe that he was kind of being considered for originally anyway. But for somebody like Jake Pope, I mean, who came over, I mean, that, you know, you one would have to assume that would cut to his playing time. The same thing, for Dan Jackson, who's taking advantage of a COVID year. So, I guarantee you, if Caleb does come, Kirby Smart will still complain that he does not have enough safety depth. So all those guys we're talking about say, well, what's going to happen to him? I mean, they're going to get plenty of playing time, and I don't think that's got to be a concern for anybody involved.
Yeah, Curtis Maxwell says, I can already hear from Bama fans say he's not that good and they didn't want him or he wasn't really bought in. Dude, that's every fan base in the history of fan bases.
Yeah, if you lose a player, that's what they say.
Yeah. We don't need to go back on the vault and look at the people who thought the Caleb Downs might not be that good. There weren't many. Most people understood he was going to be an absolute badass, but there were a few that are like, oh, well, he can go to Alabama. George is where to be, and he's not that good anyway. We won't miss him. Kirby Smart missed him. That's a good one. So get Caleb Downs this year, Juju next year. It's good to be a dog. Here's the thing. We put on the board yesterday about Juju Lewis, who reclassified from the 2026 class to the 2025 class, the star quarterback at Carrollton, who started as a true freshman at Carrollton. Is there a history of great quarterbacks at Carrollton? There may be. this is a guy who comes in and does a pretty good job there. He had 46 touchdowns last year. I think that's a pretty good job. Yeah. He reclassifies to 2025, and he's committed to USC. And everyone's like, well, Georgia's not going to jump into that sweepstakes. Those NIL deals are beyond anything Kirby would do. Georgia's back in it. Georgia's right back in it. And it wasn't only due to the reclassification, but that didn't hurt because you definitely need a 2025 quarterback and you need a 2026 quarterback. Now that he's a 2025. He would fit right in. So you didn't think you were ever going to see Caleb Downs at Georgia because he picked Alabama, goes there and becomes an All-American. Nick Saban's there. You never think their superstar is going to transfer. You never thought Nick was going to retire. Well, now Nick's retired. Caleb Downs is in the transfer portal, and Juju Lewis is in the running to wind up at Georgia. I say about this for both of them, and I'm not trying to get anybody's hopes up. I would rather be wrong and everyone come to me and say, ha-ha, you didn't think Juju Lewis was coming here, and he did. You would tease me, but you'd be happy. But if I tell you that he's coming and he doesn't, then you'll hate me. I'd rather eat crow than have everyone unsubscribe from our channel. So I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm not trying to build up clicks or views with false hope. But I would say that right now, I would put George as the leader for Juju Lewis and Caleb Downs. Now, does that mean you'll get both of them? No. And that's at 10:03 on Wednesday. At 10:04. Georgia might be second or third place. That's how this stuff happens. Dash, you've been doing this, 735 years?
Something like that.
Can you count on anything in college football?
No, especially when it comes to recruiting 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. No, you can't. You just, you just follow the best you can and ultimately just kind of see what happens. But I do agree with you, though. I mean – this is what we're hearing about Juju Lewis, reclassifying early. That we knew all along that Kirby Smart was not going to give up. And it's something we have learned over this time is don't ever count Kirby Smart or the Georgia coaches out with. If they focus on a player, they're going to do whatever they can. And they might not get him every time. Yeah. But it will not be for lack of effort.
Oh, they went crazy to try to get Caleb Downs the first time. It didn't work.
Oh, yeah, went nuts. I mean, absolutely nuts.
Yeah. I think this is a good one. Kurt, if they pull this off, this makes your backfield maybe the best in football. It would be tough to argue with that.
Yeah, at least the safety anyway. And but
yeah, like, I was going to say, cornerbacks are just some big questions. But
Yeah.
It's going to be nuts. Let's see what Blaine says. Blaine's our buddy. He says Georgia's defense offensive line are actually two of the biggest selling points for Juju Lewis right now. USC is it makes a good point. If you are thinking about your professional career, you've seen what happened to Caleb Williams, USC.
Mm-hmm. And see what happened with Carson Beck. How he is he had a pretty good year last year too.
I don't know that Carson Beck ever got dirty. I think he might have spilled a hot dog, some ketchup on his shirt one time, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at like Amarius Mims, never gave up a sack.
Yeah.
He didn't play as much. You know, he was injured, but still, there's a lot of guys. And when you look at across that front that give a very few sacks, and yeah, that wasn't happening at USC. So that's a big one. I like this one. Breaking news, DeBoer fired. Saban comes out of retirement. It's like, well, I wasn't going to let this shit happen. No, I can see that. Bruce says Georgia
got the best season. Terry told me I need to get back to work.
Yeah. You saw that Ricks, they did have cornerback, five-star cornerback going to the portal. He's going to Texas A&M.
Yeah, so, he did that yesterday.
Some pretty big losses for Alabama. But again, I remember when,
right now, especially if Caleb Downs, you know, does follow through and transfer there, Alabama's secondary next year is looking pretty sketchy, to be quite honest with you. They still got some good players, but it's nothing like – would be nothing like it had the potential to be back before these guys left.
September 28th, the first home SEC game for Kalen DeBoer is the University of Georgia. Georgia travels to Tuscaloosa on September 28th. Caleb Downs could be in a Georgia jersey facing his former team. Here's a question for you, though, Dash. Drop ad at the University of Georgia ended on January 12th. Yep. I mean, I'm no genius, but today is the 17th. That's 5 days later that classes have been in session. And classes start before drop ad.
Mm-hmm.
Is over. So what, you're in week two of classes at Georgia? 5-7 days. How does, if he were to say at 10:06, commit to the University of Georgia and say, hey, I'm coming there, I want to be there for spring practice, can you get him in, or do you have to wait until can he not show up until after he's done with classes in May?
I'm not 100% sure. I would probably think you have to wait till May, but who knows if there's something like independent studies that President Moorhead could work him through. I don't know. That's just me speculating on that. I've got no idea. But, you know, when Georgia has brought in transfer before, you know, about this time, those guys have always had to wait to around May or so before they're able to, you know, get over the field and start actually doing some work. But we'll see. It will be interesting. I wouldn't put anything past Coach Smart or Georgia or anything with it. You know,
you're right. I remember there was an offensive tackle that came in that George got. I don't think he ever played a whole lot. He came in and had to wait and got there. I remember our first
Catalina?
Pictures. And
you talking about Catalina? Are you thinking about Catalina, the tackle?
No, I think it's somebody else.
No.
Because Tyler played. Tyler started at left tackle.
Yeah.
But this was a guy who came in at and didn't play. But I remember seeing our first picture. I'd almost forgotten about him because he'd been there so long.
Well, there was a safety from Alabama, too, that came over when all this transfer stuff first started.
Yeah. I was told a week ago. It's like you can't share this. I'm like, okay, I won't until it's afterwards. But somebody was actually going to Jerry Moorhead, the president of the University of Georgia, saying, hey, can we extend drop ad? Because the portal's still going crazy and there's some players that we want. And, you know, it would be for all schools, it wouldn't be just for football, but the portal is still going crazy in some other sports as well.
Yeah.
And I know that they were going to take that, proposal to Jerry Moore, and he wants to help out, you know, but at the same time, you can't just do it. Hey, I'll do it for this one guy. You'd have to do it for all the athletes.
Exactly.
Help, maybe for the entire school for all I know, but
yeah, you would have to.
It's not like it's a national security secret that you couldn't advance, you know, couldn't say, hey, we're going to open the drop ad for a couple more days.
Yeah.
Or like you said, hey, come in and do independent studies.
I would say that would probably be the way to go again. I mean, without me knowing 100%, I would think an independent study would be the way to go. But again, we'll have to wait and see on that. I know one thing that Coach Moore would definitely obviously learned wanting to have Caleb there for spring practice to get him going.
Yeah, but we asked Coach Donnan about this yesterday on our show, and folks, be sure to check out the UGA Sports Live show with Coach Donnan. He said, the kid can play. Yeah, you want him to learn what you have at Georgia, but it's not like somebody you got to come up. You're not taking a raw recruit and trying to coach him up to get there. The guy absolutely knows what to do, even though he's only a freshman. But you don't make it All-American. It was just like when a number of top Georgia players missed last spring with surgical repairs.
Yep.
Didn't bother him.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't bother Caleb Downs either if they just want to kind of, work him in easily, however you want to put it. It wouldn't hurt him a bit.
Hey, real quick, give me some of your thoughts on how the secondary might look. I saw Michael Gates was talking about who might not be out there, but give me your thoughts on if you had to pick a starting five in Georgia secondary, if they got Caleb Downs.
If they got Caleb Downs, well, you start by putting starts at Caleb at safety. Star, I think you've got, Jonell Aguero and Bolden, I think, would be the top two guys there. And at cornerback, in fact, Julian Humphreys is coming back with some more big news. We talked about it a lot when I first had it. I haven't talked much about it, since then, but I think that's a big deal for Georgia. And they've got some experienced guys like Dalen Everett, who, I think played better. Maybe some people want to give him credit for last year. And I think if he played that position, he'd be fine. Daniel Harris was in the portal, came out, is coming back to Georgia. And of course they got Ellis Robinson, who just kicked ass at the Under Armour camp.
Oh God.
Just did some, if you haven't seen the video, folks, go check it out. This guy was nuts. And from my, I'm obviously not an expert in all that, but he looks like somebody who could come in and play pretty quickly too. So Georgia secondary is going to be in very good shape with those guys I just mentioned.
Hey, I wanted to show something here real quick. Watch this video. Kirby Smart after the SEC title game. Who does he go up and talk to? Who else is he talking to? Yeah, who's that other guy?
Yeah.
Hang on, let me get right there. Who's that?
Say, hey coach, I'll see you in January.
Exactly. So he's there with Travis Robinson. I love it. Caleb Downs, T-Rob, big. Hey, we got Dane. Let's bring Dane on real quick. And Dash, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you jumping on with me. Any last thoughts about the possibility here?
I don't think it's going to be very long before we know something. I mean, I would expect, just me talking, I think we'll hear something by the weekend on this. Like most of these guys, when we've got players going to portal, especially these ones who are really, really good, they've already got a pretty good idea of what they want to do. They don't just hop in and start looking around. They know what they want to do. So I would expect one way or the other, we'll hear pretty quickly where Caleb Downs wants to play his football.
But isn't that tampering?
Depends on how you look at it, I guess. Huh? I mean, to me, tampering though, if a guy's still enrolled in another school, you start tell him how much money you're gonna throw at him, that kind of thing. I don't know if I necessarily call it tampering.
And I always tell people it's not tampering because that's talking directly to the athletes, but. Athletes have agents, and agents can talk to an agent. There's no rule against that.
Yeah,
you talk to the father. You can talk to the high school coach.
And
of course, a lot of them are like, "Hey, I want to talk to people before we put our name in the portal because you stir a lot of resentment."
That happens all the time.
Just so I can talk to people.
It happens all the time, and that's a common deal there.
Yep. Hi, Dash. I appreciate it, man. I know you got to get back to work.
Yep. See you.
Let me add Dane Young on the show here. Dane, give me your thoughts on this possibility.
This would be Georgia's biggest transfer ever. I mean, in this portal era, I suppose.
Moe Smith was named a team leader.
Say again.
Said Maurice Smith was actually named a team captain.
I understand, but I'm saying in terms of talent and impact, Georgia's secondary is already loaded. In my opinion, I think they're going to be good whether or not Caleb Downs comes. You add Caleb Downs to that mix, and I start to wonder if I'm an offensive coordinator for another team, how the heck do you attack if George is healthy? Because I think the middle of the field at that point is done, pass or run. between those safeties, that star position, the inside linebackers that Georgia has backlogged there. And I think the defensive line is going to be better next year. And so, you know, early film don't lie, if you will. I think the main way to attack Georgia would be to have those hero throws on the outside, one-on-one with a corner and receiver. And it just aren't many players that can win football games doing that consistently.
Yeah, it's not – I mean, it's tough. Losing Jamon Dumas Johnson is big. Losing Pop to Kentucky was a blow because he'd be entering –
I mean, yes, but like he was losing playing time to younger players below him. It's why that he transferred. And it's not like a shot against him. I think it's just praising the talent of what CJ Allen was beginning to do. And he wasn't perfect. He had things that he didn't do well in a couple games down the stretch. But when you start looking at a potential of Allen and Wilson, and I mean, you start even go Bowles is going to be in the mix at some point here, even if it's just special teams. I mean, it's, for Georgia to have lost what it has lost to the NFL in recent years and to be able to potentially retool with this is pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from this, like, bear name over Darren Kendrick. That was big. That was big. But you're right. Getting a guy like that in, monumental for the program. And again, you weren't on here when I was talking about it, when Kirby Smart and company missed out on Caleb Downs. I'm not saying they took it personally, but it was, they knew it was a blow. They knew it was a huge miss. And so much so that for the folks that didn't catch the first part of the show, it was one of those situations where Kirby Smart basically said, look, this is never going to happen again. We can't, or at least it damn sure can't happen in back-to-back years. So that's why when KJ, they went all in on KJ Bolden. And that was before he picked Florida State. When he did pick Florida State, Kirby Smart sent him a paragraph-long text message that kind of changed the kid's outlook, saying, look, I'm not mad. We're here for you if you ever change your mind. We're not going to stop recruiting you. We think you're a difference maker. And the kid flipped on signing day, flips back to Georgia. That was a big one. Kirby personally was not going to let another Caleb Downs-type player get away from Georgia, especially in back-to-back years, one of the best players in the state. Just couldn't happen. And they wound up getting KJ. And again, sometimes you can put all the effort in the world and it doesn't work. You know, if you're 5'10 like me and 265 pounds, you can't dunk. You know, you try all you want. It's just not going to happen. You can
That's not how the goal is.
But my point is, so you put in 1,000 hours of effort, it's still just not going to happen. Georgia tried very hard to get KJ and it worked. They tried very hard to get Caleb. It didn't work. There were some situations outside their control, didn't work out for him. My point is, now you got KJ and you get Caleb back. You know, you talk about the one that got away, you know, what could have been, what if. Now all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, okay, well, I'm here. Now what?
Yeah.
And you're thinking of your Dante Williams, you know, you're Travaris Robinson. Travaris goes from Alabama to Georgia, and you're like, okay, wow. Well, still surrounded by freakishly great talent. This is going to be great. Dante Williams, who's second, his cornerbacks at USC got torched up. He's like, oh, what? Real athletes out here? What the hell? This coach has got to be beside themselves with happiness.
Well, you know, one thing that Coach Donnan has told us with all these transfers is that when you're running a room like this, you have to be really careful and precise about who you bring in, because anytime you bring in a person from the outside that's even slightly older than true freshman, then you're telling all of these players in that room kind of where things are in the pecking order and where your concerns were, where you need to go get more help. And in most cases, there's probably less to be gained with that and more to be risked. But with a Caleb Downs, you're like, he would be one of the best players on Georgia's team instantly. And Georgia's team is really, 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 really good. And so it's not a risk at that point. It's one that you take. Now, there will be ripples on Georgia's roster from this, because all of a sudden some guys that have been at Georgia are going to look around and say, ooh, maybe I don't get to play as much.
Yeah. And that's definitely a question. I mean, I think poor Jake Pope, he transferred to Georgia thinking, hey, I got a chance to play there. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, Caleb's coming too? Son of a... Again, yeah, he might wind up at Ohio State. This is, again, we're just talking about the possibility of Caleb Downs winding up at Georgia. It's,
I mean, I think about a guy like Dan Jackson. I think about Dan Jackson has been in Georgia and worked his butt off and fought through injury, and he's been a valuable piece for Georgia. But, I mean, this is playing time that would go away from him potentially too. And not that it shouldn't. I'm not arguing that. I'm just like, that's the reality of it when you bring in a Caleb Downs, that someone else that has been playing and doing a lot of positive things for Georgia just won't have those opportunities as much.
Well, no, I mean, same with bringing in Trevor Etienne. You bring in a top running back, and some of these guys who were looking to get some playing time, it's like, oh, well, guess what? That may not be happening. So I remember everyone was bitching about the portal. George Chavez says, I love the portal. I don't know what everybody's crying about. Yeah, that's a great point. Kirby's Jordan had guys going to the portal every 15 minutes. Everybody hated that shit. Now all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, it's not no big deal.
I mean, Kirby's been consistent with that. Just give him the parameters and he'll work within them. And this is the reality of college football right now. But that also means that, like, good players will be poached from Georgia at certain points too. I mean, we've seen it happen before. But I don't know that Georgia's
lost. Where's Brock Vandegrift right now?
Yeah, but I don't know that someone's lost some of the talent of a Caleb Downs yet. I'm trying to remember if that's happened.
Ole Miss. I mean, they've added a ton, but losing Quinshon Judkins was.
Yeah.
And by the way, Georgia had a contingency plan for him. We were talking about this. Someone asked, you know, is Georgia ready for an NIL? Yes, they were planning on this just in case it happened. There were rumors that it might. Hell, there was even a report the other day saying that he hasn't decided. So you're not going to wait till the last second to come up with your NIL program. You know, you're like, hey, let's get everybody on the phone. Let's find out what we can put together. So they were prepared for him. They were also prepared for Quinshon Judkins, where he'd go into the portal. So that's a big one. But to your point, this is probably definitely one of the. It'll be very interesting to see when they do the rankings at Rivals from all the guys that have gone into the transfer portal where he winds up. I can definitely see him, like you say, at number one or definitely top five. He's just a transformational guy, a generational talent. And if he winds up at Georgia, he'd be there for 2 years. I mean, he's just a freshman. 107 tackles, leads the team at Alabama in tackles, the first freshman to do that since 1970, the first freshman to have 107 tackles in 50 years. Just phenomenal. And you could get him for 2 years. So a lot of people talking about possible guys that have transferred into Georgia. A lot of them are one-year deals. Darian Kendrick, 1 year. He was big. I mean, MVP of the which game was he the MVP of?
It was one of those down the stretch. Was it the Orange Bowl?
I think it was the Orange Bowl. Excuse me. But point being, you get it for two, and you lose Malachi Starks after this year, but then you're not back there with a freshman or sophomore. You're back there with Caleb freaking Downs for the year three of his career. That's big. Yeah, Jeremy says it was the Orange Bowl. I appreciate that.
You make a good point, though, which is journalistically responsible, that he's just saying he's entering the portal, which has not happened yet. He is not in the portal, at least at the moment. He's just expressed the intent that that's happened. So that's step one. Step two would be then to get to Georgia. The only thing that I can assure people, and I don't think this is any crazy reporting scoop or whatever, but Georgia is ready should that opportunity be there. Like, from the NIL standpoint, from roster stuff, Georgia is ready to pounce on that if that opportunity is there. That's not a surprise to anyone. When you're a well-run organization, you know when talent could be potentially available. But none of this would catch Georgia off surprise. You know, this would not be a surprise to any of the decision makers that make this stuff happen in Georgia.
We don't have the prediction apparatus at UGASports.com to do stuff like that, but I told people the other day that, you know, I like where Georgia stood with the Caleb Downs thing. If we had the future cast thing set up for about where he would land, I would put in a prediction for Georgia. I know that Ohio State was number two on his list. I've been telling people, whoever listened, if he goes into the portal, getting Travaris Robinson was again. At first I thought, I mean, and I went on the board and I basically apologized. Because we had a recruiting show on last Thursday, and then I think was the Travaris news on Friday. Yeah. And when we had our instant reaction, I told people, of course, the question came up with Travaris Robinson. And of course, on a recruiting show, can Georgia get Caleb Downs? And I said, no, I think if he grows in the portal, he'd go to Ohio State. We just didn't think Georgia would be in it. Plus, he would command such a high NIL thing. I just didn't know that Georgia would do it. I had to go on over the weekend before any of this happened and say, hey, guess what? I said it twice. I'm wrong. But I'm letting you know because I received information that Georgia was planning on going after him hard via, you know, previous relationships and, as you say, NIL. They had a plan. I went on the board over the weekend at the vault at ugsports.com, eat my crow, saying, look, in the past 48 hours, I've said twice, Georgia's not going to get him. I'm changing my tune. But again, we had new information. And the new information was that Georgia was actually planning to make a move here if he went into the portal. And now the if part of that equation has fleshed out. He is planning to go into the portal. Now, he might not. As we saw, Daniel Harris put up the big graphic, going to jumping into the transfer portal. Never did. We knew Julian Humphrey was looking at it. You know, hell, Mikel Williams looked at a lot of players and a bunch of Georgia players did. I think he had 19 scholarship guys hop in the portal for walk-ons. That's the transfer portal does. You know, you do lose players that way, but you've also added 7 and possibly 8. You added 3 wide receivers. You almost added a quarterback. You added a long snapper. You added a defensive lineman. You're getting players. And if anything, if the game is roster management, as you say, by whatever apparatus, be it transfer portal, NIL, recruiting him out of high school, build him on NCAA, I'm going to go with Kirby Smart. Not because we cover him, but because I've seen when it comes to roster management, that's what he does better than anybody in college football.
And from a schedule standpoint, you may have acknowledged this before I got on, at UGA, the drop ad period for courses has passed. That ended last week. So one or two things are going to happen here should Georgia end up with Caleb Downs. Either one, there will be some administrative moves to assist him in getting involved in the semester, even though that time has passed. Is there precedent for that? To be honest with you, I don't know. But I know Kirby Smart holds a lot of weight at the university and has great relationships with the people that can assist with that. If all of that did not happen and he had to join in the summer, he's the kind of guy that's going to be good anyway. Like, yeah, it would help to be involved with Georgia throughout that whole time, but you know, he knows T-Rob. He knows that program, that team. He knows how to play football. That wouldn't be catastrophic. And he'd still be in line to start in that situation. So I think something's probably going to end up being made of that here in the next little bit. But, like, if he doesn't end up at Georgia in the spring because of the class situation, which I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's going to work itself out. If that were to happen and he couldn't join until after, it'd be fine, too.
That's a good point. I think they could – we were talking about that right before he came on, and my question or my issue was – not issue, but – I did reveal that Georgia was looking at people were going to go to Jerry Moorhead and ask him to extend the drop ad period. And I don't know if that would have happened at all, if that was even possible. I'm sure it's possible, but I don't know if he would have. And he would have to do it for like all the sports and maybe the regular students as well. But why not? Anyway, I mean, I'm married to a professor. And I understand having people drop ad at the last, you know, in week 2 is a pain in the ass, but also it's like the transfer portal. You transfer from one class to the other class. So let's have an extended period. The good post here from Brent Rollins, your partner on Filmed Online, he says Caleb Downs Power 5 ranks as a true freshman, 85.6 overall. It's pretty damn good. That's the second highest graded freshman. Let that sink in. The second best freshman in the Power 5. The 17th highest rated secondary player and the 28th highest graded defensive player.
And this doesn't even rave about his special teams ability. He's really good at that too. I mean, he's a guy that needs to be on the field, period.
Here's a little something. Mm. This post from Justice Haynes. Him and KJ Bolden back when they were at Buford. With the big eyes. Oh, man. Very, very, very interesting stuff going on there.
Someone said that's a fake page in the chat, so I want to be sure you're not getting duped here.
Ah, yeah, it probably is, but it's still funny.
Yeah.
I love the picture.
I mean, the question then does become, does Justice Haynes think about making a move here? Georgia's probably even a bit more crowded at running back than it would be in the secondary. That said, I mean, Justice Haynes has been around Athens in the last few months. He has friends here. That's not uncommon. People come to Athens all the time to hang out with their friends. I'm not insinuating that he's going to transfer to Georgia. What I'm saying is, I think that door would potentially be open too, but Georgia's just crowded there.
I don't know that. I've not heard anything about Haynes even possibly going into the portal.
Nick Saban was raving about him late in the year and just how they expected his workload to increase. But look, I think Kirby Smart has pounced on this transition at Alabama as strong and as much as you can as a rival. And when Georgia goes into Tuscaloosa next year, Georgia's roster is going to be significantly better. That doesn't mean they're going to win the game, but Georgia's going to have a leg up there. And maybe it's not as much as the famous 2015 rain game where all of us are on the sideline, Roddy, and this was before I worked for you, but we all looked over there and said, uh-oh, that Bama team is bigger than Georgia. They're faster than Georgia. This is not going to go well. I mean,
going back to – there have been many years I've seen that, like I said, the rain game where they just destroyed them. Hell, Ole Miss in Kirby Smart's first year, Ole Miss was – head and shoulders bigger than Georgia was, you know, and they were down 31-0 at the half in game one, or in that game on the road at Ole Miss. But now, when you watch Georgia walk in, and I go back to playing TCU in 2022, looking at Georgia's offensive line, you know, you had Tate Redledge, Cedric Van Prand, Xavier Truss, Broderick Jones, Amaris Mims as a backup, you know, Warren McClendon, and those five guys stood side by side by side, and you couldn't see around them. You know, they kind of blocked out all the light in that interview room. This is a huge hangar where they're doing the team interviews. And then you watch the TCU defensive lineman walk in, and you're like, man, this looks like a good high school team. And then, of course, it's 65-7. You know, it's like just an absolute ass kick. Size does matter. So does speed. And when you get a guy like Caleb Downs and Malachi Starks in your secondary, and they're faster and bigger and hit harder than anybody else. I mean, hell, what did Alabama do to Georgia after Amaris Mims went out? They're like, okay, we're going to put our two safeties in the middle of the field, and we got run support. You can't throw over the top of them. And they after that first drive, after Amaris Mims went out, Alabama's safeties changed the outcome of that game. Now, all of a sudden, you got one of them on your side to go with the Malachi Starks, who started as a true freshman. You could be looking back at that secondary group, just like you look back at that 2021 class and say, look at how many of these guys are in the NFL.
I start looking at Georgia's schedule next year and trying to anticipate the quarterbacks that Georgia's secondary would face if Caleb Downs were to come to Georgia. And I start saying, advantage Georgia and pretty much all of that. And even a Quinn Ewers, who I think is a really good player, his receiving core is diminished to some extent next year. They'll have some guys emerge, I'm sure. But as hard as Georgia's schedule is next year, if this is the roster that Georgia rolls out with, if it can stay healthy, I'd like Georgia's chances to go undefeated.
Well, I'm not ready to go that far.
I mean, to me, this would be –
but this was like one of the biggest games on the schedule. It's like you're playing at Ole Miss, at Alabama, at Texas. Now the at Alabama part seems a hell of a lot easier to win than it did before. I mean, hell, Georgia was 2.5-point favorites a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I'm not saying with you, but I'm just like, there's two other guns on there that are going to be tough.
I get it. They'll have a margin for error. I'm just not so sure that, again, if they stay healthy, like, there's just not going to be a team in the country that has the quantity of talent that Georgia does. Ole Miss has done fine. Texas is really good. Alabama will still be a fine team next year. But what Georgia's putting together right now, starting to look a little bit maybe like that first national championship team where you looked around, you're like, there's just guys everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at these recruiting classes. They just signed the number one class. They have a chance to add to it. I know folks get sideways about losing guys to the portal, and especially some of them who are really good. You lose Zeed Haynes, yeah, that's a blow. You lose a starting a linebacker, it's a blow. But at the same time, you lost 10, 12 guys who were never going to play at Georgia. You missed on them. You missed on the evals, or they didn't develop as much as you thought, or they didn't practice as hard as you wanted them to, or whatever. It's just you're not going to get, if you sign 25, not all 25 are going to start.
Or somebody came back, maybe you didn't know if they were going to come back. And so that spot just wasn't there for someone that would have had it this year.
So all of a sudden you're able to, cut them, but they go somewhere else because you sit down with them in your meeting and say, look, I love you. You're here. I hope you get a degree, study your classes, practice with us. Great. But I just don't see a lot of playing time for you here. And the kid says, coach, I appreciate you being honest with me. I'm going to jump in the portal, see if I can play somewhere else. I'm like, okay. Now all of a sudden that position frees up and you put in a Caleb Downs. You put in a Colby Young. You put in a London Humphreys. You put in a Xavier McLeod. Maybe those guys work out. Maybe they don't. It worked out for Georgia last year with a couple wide receivers from the transfer portal. It didn't work out for Smoke Bowie. Georgia, in other words, if you give Georgia a chance to replace players that may not be working out with players who have proven themselves somewhere else, like a Caleb Downs, an All-American, if you can replace, if you get that scholarship spot by losing A.J. Harris, which is a loss. It's absolutely a loss. That kid was on the verge of breaking out. Kirby looked really upset when he mentioned about guys coming and leaving after the first year. I think he might have been mentioning Harris. When you're able to replace him with a Caleb Downs because now you have that scholarship open, the portal doesn't seem so bad.
And each of these guys on Georgia's roster just has such a unique set of circumstances around them. And it all changes and it's so fluid. It's what makes roster management so difficult. I can tell you a guy like Austin Blasky entered the season last year neck and neck with Ernest Green to be the starting left tackle. Well, an injury and then an illness happened at the wrong time for Blasky, and he just got behind and couldn't catch back up to what Green was able to do. He was still in the running to be backup center, and Jared Wilson made some moves there. Right tackle had some things happen, and Blasky just wasn't back in time. And it got to a point where it's like, hey, it's better for me not to play, preserve a year of eligibility, and see what works best for my future. He ends up transferring out. That's a guy that's good enough to play at Georgia in some capacity. You saw him on the field some. But it's just because of the set of circumstances around him and the other people at the position group, he doesn't have the spot that maybe he would have had heading into last season. Like his standing on the team had all of a sudden changed from July to December. Like it can happen that fast. And it's not anything of his fault. I think he's a really good player. That's just an example I'm using that like all of the roster management changes except for a guy like Caleb Downs because he's just better than everyone else in college football.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better for Alabama right now. I'm looking at this tweet from Lance McGrady saying that Rivals 100 prospect in 2025, Zion Grady, out of Enterprise, Alabama, the verbal commit. Defensive end, 6'4", 220 pounds, the number 40 player in the nation, the number 5 player in the state of Alabama, the number 1 outside linebacker, weak side defensive end. In the nation, has decommitted from the University of Alabama. And he will be back in Athens on February 3rd.
Damn. I mean, I keep saying that Georgia is what Alabama was. Georgia's the top of the sport now. Georgia is where the talent congregates, and it's going to be difficult.
But I thought Georgia was over, man. They lost. It's over. The run is over.
Not yet. I mean, they can change quickly. But right now, I think Georgia's preseason number one. I think everyone thinks they were one of the 4 best teams in the country this past year, but it didn't work out. Now it's a 12-team playoff. You like Georgia's chances to at least have a bye week heading into a playoff right now?
Oh, yeah. And you're right. A lot of people are saying, Curse Maximus says, the schedule depth and recruiting me now more important than ever. When you play as many games as you do, that's huge. What was the story about the entire bowl season? Was who was healthy, who wasn't? Who was opting out, who wasn't? And everyone made a big deal about the fact that, you know, Georgia had no official opt-outs. Well, no one officially opted out. But there's some guys that might have been able to play, but look, I'm still rehabbing a little bit here, so there's no point in me getting into it. No more point in me making it worse. If it had been a playoff game, I think some of those guys that didn't play would have played. So is that an opt-out? Not really. But my point is, when you are starting adding all these different games at the end and you have to play longer into the season, I mean, hell, FSU doesn't get to play for a national title because they have one injury. If their second string quarterback looked like they had a pulse, the committee completely changes it. And all of a sudden, maybe Alabama's not in or Texas isn't in. Sure, it'd be Alabama that would have been left out, but tough to leave out the SEC champ. But my point is, having quality depth, not just your 22 starters, but if you're, like you said, if you don't have that bye week, how many games do you have to play to make it to the title? Four? No, three.
It's going to be, I mean, if you don't have the bye, it's going to be three. Yeah.
So there you go. It gets tougher to get to it. You got to have all the players, so it matters. So, got Chris on there saying some people tuning in late. Folks, be sure to follow my buddy, the Dog Father, over on TikTok. He's pretty funny. I'm sure he's having a wild, wild day with the news. The Bama fans are not taking this very well, and I get it. I mean, think about it. Put yourself if you are a Georgia fan. And you hear that, I mean, you saw the Falcons have interviewed Belichick. They interviewed Harbaugh. If it comes out this afternoon that they interviewed Kirby Smart, and all of a sudden you start seeing stuff that he might be the guy. And then let's say all of a sudden he were to go there, and then Carson Beck changes his mind and goes pro, and Mykael Williams hits the portal, and all these kids decommit. You go from the highest of highs to just feeling like everything's coming apart. Hell, Georgia fans were feeling like everything was coming apart after they lost to Alabama because a bunch of guys went into the transfer portal and just felt like there was nothing but bad news. I remember reporting something that was just the slightest bit positive, and people were like, oh, we really needed this. I'm like, this is – folks, get used to the portal. And if you lose – the last game of your season is lost, the next couple of weeks are going to feel like bad news. Because you're going to have coaches change. You're going to have players change. It's a lot easier to accept it when you've won back-to-back championships. But my point is, everybody who is feeling like none of this stuff ever happens to Alabama, it only happens to Georgia, you got to be feeling right now like, damn, sucks to be them.
Let me ask you this, Ronnie, because I know some things that our team has discussed. Could you summarize why Caleb Downs went to Alabama instead of Georgia? Because you were very open in saying Georgia really, really, really wanted this guy in recruiting. So what was it about Alabama that was the draw there that Georgia didn't have?
The way it was explained to me, and again, this is second, third, fourth, fifth hand, was there was a – Georgia tried as hard as they could. They really wanted him. They've shown the development, but again, it's Alabama. It's not ever a bad decision to pick the University of Alabama. I know we got Georgia fans on here that are, I would say, oh, it's terrible. If you are a high school prospect and you go to the University of Alabama, that's pretty damn impressive. Worst case scenario, you go into the portal and there's a ton of schools lining up to get a guy that Alabama picked. And what we're seeing now is with the invention of the transfer portal and the unrestricted NIL out there, a lot of schools, I would say Ole Miss, but that would be rude, are basically waiting to see who do you like? Who have you – we're going to have a guy come on our recruiting show who scouts kids as 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th graders before they're big news. And all the schools subscribe to his service. And – They line up ahead of time to find out, you know, who are the good guys, you know, who's out there. And what a lot of other schools are doing is waiting to see Georgia go hard after a guy, see Alabama go hard after a guy. They're not doing their own scouting. They're just waiting to see who the really good evaluators, who's Ohio State going after, who's Texas going after. Then you just show up with a big bag of money.
So are you saying that a Ladd McConkey recruitment would have been more difficult now after the two national championships?
Absolutely. This is why when we find out sometimes that Georgia's going after a kid, we're like, his head coach would be like, yeah, Georgia's going after him, but they're keeping it quiet. Because they're worried somebody else is going to swoop in behind him with a big bag of cash. So we're seeing that in the transfer portal. We're seeing that in the NIL. My point is, some schools are just waiting until you go after a kid, and then they're going to jump in and try to grab him. That happens. When Caleb Downs was coming up, Georgia went hard after him. Alabama went hard after him. Some other schools saw that, and they went hard after him. But he also had an older brother who was really good. And his older brother went to UNC, and not the biggest guy, but absolutely tore it up. He wasn't recruited that hard by Georgia. A lot of people said, again, second, third hand, that the fact he wasn't recruited hard by Georgia soured the family on Georgia. It's like, look, you weren't, you know, older brother wasn't good enough for you. Why are you coming after Caleb? You know, you had your chance, you missed out. Now, again, that is scuttlebutt. Heard that. I actually spoke to Caleb Downs' mom. I spoke to Caleb Downs. I interviewed him at in Rome, Georgia, during the state track championship. This kid was a freak athlete. He was doing triple jump, long jump, you name it, you know, sprinting. He was winning everything. Pretty sure his mom was the coach.
And by the way, Josh is doing just fine now with the Indianapolis Colts. Had a really good year.
LL, there was a question about would he go into the portal when it first popped up. And George is like, yeah, we'll take it. You know, so, again, they missed out on him. So I think that the scuttlebutt will always be the family was hurt that they didn't go after the older brother. So – I exactly steered the younger one away, but they didn't quite go after him. It's not a bad look for him, or it wasn't a bad decision for him to go to Alabama. He's going to be a star anywhere. You want to go someplace that's going to develop him. Alabama will develop, you know, Georgia will develop him. He would have gotten good development there. I mean, hell, if you're excited about the fact that T-Rob is going to be the Georgia's secondary coach and safeties coach, then you can see he would have been excited to go play at Alabama for T-Rob. So, you know, two things have to be true. If T-Rob's a great coach and can put you in the NFL, then he can do it wherever. So if he was doing it in Alabama, then why wouldn't Caleb Downs pick and go to Alabama? You know, especially if you've got a resentment against Georgia. If he's at Georgia, you know, and he's, or if it was a bad decision to go to Alabama and not and play for a guy who can't develop you, then it would be a bad decision to come to Georgia and play for a guy that can't develop you. So, point being, water under the bridge. And hopefully, like I said, if I had the ability to put in a prediction right now or where Caleb Downs would wind up, you know, we don't have a prediction model thing set up for guys in the transfer portal. That's coming. We're building it out. I would put it in prediction right now for Caleb Downs to Georgia, mainly based on T-Rob, mainly based on the fact that Georgia's been prepping for this. Again, other schools have been prepping for it. I'm sure Ohio State's got a great plan. I'm sure Texas has got a great plan. Every school in the nation that's worth their salt will be putting something together. It won't just be the small schools with big bags of cash. It'll be the big schools with big bags of cash. Plus, the kid knows he's going to go to the NFL. I don't know that he needs a giant big bag of cash. I don't know that the family needs that. You know, like you said, the older brother's already getting NFL paychecks. But they probably want to go someplace where he's got a good future, good chance, good to be developed. And here's the thing about coming to Georgia every Tuesday, every Wednesday. NFL scouts all over the place. Love Georgia watch a practice.
The other thing with this too, for all the folks out there, because you're right, NIL is a big piece of all of this, but a prospect of Caleb Downs caliber, if he just enters the portal completely on the open market, willing to just go wherever the highest dollar is, he might get more money out of somewhere than what Georgia would end up paying. I don't know what the price is going to be. He might not. I don't know the specifics of those. But for the folks out there that are saying that, like, college football is dying and I don't even recognize the sport anymore, it's so hard to deal with this. I think if Caleb Downs ends up at Georgia, there's still some aspect to that that says relationships matter. And this is a relationship business because Kirby Smart stayed on good terms with him. And Kirby Smart hired T-Rob, who obviously has a great connection. And that was a linchpin here. When you had that moment over the weekend where it seemed like, well, T-Rob is interviewing at Alabama. Maybe he's going to go back there. That would have completely changed the calculus that Caleb Downs is going through here. and the fact that T-Rob stays at Georgia. And I'm just saying that the relationship piece of it needs to be highlighted, though NIL is still a massive part of it.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing about Kalen DeBoer. People are like, well, he has no relationships down here. Kelly Quinlan, our Alabama publisher, made a good point. He said, I get that the guy doesn't have a lot of relationships in, you know, Texas and Florida and, you know, Miami and Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, Louisiana, the hot spots for all the talent in the Southeast. But if you got giant bags of NIL money, the relationships are, yeah, they matter, but those can be overcome. But to your point, when you know you're going to get paid well, and we saw this with Ellis Robinson, people threw big bags of money at him, try to get him with the five-star number one cornerback in the nation who's just signed with Georgia. He turned down some huge offers. He said, look, I'm going to go to Georgia. I have a great relationship with them. I've been committed for a long time. Plus, I'm going to get developed and make it to the NFL. That's where the big paychecks are. And that's what Kirby Smart selling said. Look, we're not going to be uninvolved in NIL. We're definitely going to try to be the best at it. We're just not there yet. But in the long run, you coming here and being developed, you becoming an Eric Stokes coming in here as a, you know, a raw cornerback commit and then becoming a first-round pick, we got you. You could be a Jordan Davis, raw defensive lineman, first-round pick. You know, hell, we made Devontae Wyatt into one. Nobody saw that coming. And when you can get guys like that and develop them up, that helps you. Then on top of that, if you can get your NIL supercharged so the kids can come here are getting paid while they're here and when they make it to the NFL, it's huge. Absolutely huge. Hey, shout out to Evan Grimes. Somebody said the Downs Twitter always say Buford as his location. I just noticed it. I don't know. That's a good one. Shout out to Evan Grimes. He's a big supporter of ours. He's joined the Dog Vent recently and has been a fantastic commentator on the Dog Vent and on the Vault, as well as our live chats. It's a good dude. I appreciate him doing it. Also, the Dog Father and Dan Beast Media, Money MD, Drew Swervo, Michael Fowler, Mr. I don't know who Mr. Lantern is, but I'd be interested there. Jay Deshong watching on Twitter. We don't see a lot of our Twitter commenters on here, but I like that.
Well, Michael Fowler's exposing your other business that we don't talk about.
What was that?
He says you and I are going live more often than cam girls these days.
Aren't hey, only dads, baby. Only dads. That's me.
You've been getting in shape over there with you walking every day.
Oh, no, man. I'm freezing in here. He wasn't on in here like it should have been.
Now, I say the news back-to-back days in terms of just Georgia and NIL and having to kind of build the war chests, so to speak, between KJ Bolden in what recent weeks, between potentially Caleb Downs, and then Juju Lewis reclassifying. Yeah. Oh, boy. Like, that requires a big army of people and some deep pockets to do that well. That would speak well of Georgia's infrastructure.
Yeah, I would put in right now a prediction for Juju Lewis to come to Georgia. If, again, with our future cast system, once a kid's committed, you can't pick for him to flip. But the fact that he's reclassified, I think, changes a lot, and Georgia's going all in on Juju Lewis. He is, again, it was Caleb Downs, that guy you have to land. KJ Bolden, that guy you have to land. Who's the next guy? Juju Lewis. I mean, don't get me wrong. Elijah Griffin, definitely. David Sanders Jr., definitely. Justice Terry, who's committed, definitely. Elias Williams, the tight end. I mean, you can name them all, but I think the guy that hits that game changer mode, Elijah Griffin, Juju Lewis. You know.
Big would that just be optically for Georgia? For you had the Dylan Raiola stuff that you had him for, 8 months, and then he ends up at Nebraska, and you respond back with not only potentially Juju Lewis in the reclassification, but early word on Ryan Puglisi is this guy's really good, really good.
Well, I got to bug out here, but I will leave folks with this. There was a reason Georgia took Ryan Puglisi first. They were in it for Saiyan. They knew Raiola was a possibility. But when Ryan Puglisi said, I want to commit, they said, yes, absolutely. They didn't say, hold off. We want to see if we can get Sayin. We want to hold off, see if we can get Rayola. Hold off, see if we can get whoever. Nolan. No. We want Ryan Puglisi. And if you talk to hear the players talk about him, and you, I mean, hell, we actually paid a guy to shoot all of his games. And we put up, if you're watching this on YouTube and or Facebook, you've seen the videos of this kid throwing. I know he played at Avon Old Farms, which is a very fancy school. You know, they wear shirt and ties every day and coats. They play some damn good football up there. And that kid's, he's a monster. If you could get him, follow him up with Juju Lewis. And
Well, Jim Donnan said something on our podcast yesterday about Juju. He just said, Del McGee's on it. And
yeah,
all I need to hear, I worked in Columbus for 4 years. I got to know West Georgia pretty well, East Alabama, that whole area. And Carrollton qualifies as West Georgia.
Oh, I know. Hey, I'm in LaGrange right this second. It's 32 minutes away.
And
so I might run up there and see if he's practicing today. Yeah, catch a few passes from Juju.
Pretty much where you're at, West and Southwest, Del McGee's name is something different around there. Oh, yeah. I know I say that a lot on these channels, but I've seen it in action. I've seen it at high schools where someone says, X school offered, X school's interested. And the next line is, okay, but have you heard from Del? And or have you heard from Coach McGee? Like, it's he's just legendary over there. What Kirby Smart is for all of Georgia, whatever, Del McGee's that for the city of Columbus. And for that whole area that touches it.
No, you're absolutely right. So, again, you've got Coach T-Rob trying to bring in Caleb Downs to Georgia, and you got Del McGee trying to bring in Juju Lewis. Kirby Smart and Georgia football are not going anywhere. You went three regular seasons undefeated. You lost one playoff or one SEC championship game by 3 points with some questionable calls. We won't get into that, but a lot of people are like, oh, well, it was a good run. It's not over, folks. And I'm not trying to, again, I could tell you that, hey, Georgia football sucks. And the end is near. It wouldn't do anything for our numbers here. I'm not trying to juice the numbers. I'm not trying to give you false hope. I'm just telling you that I have been in this business for 30 years. Actually, there'll be 31. When I started covering recruiting with Steve Patterson back in the day, I did not understand how much recruiting matters. I always thought, I was one of those people that would be like, hey, the best coaches. The best coaches in college football are the ones that can get the best players. I've seen good coaches lose with bad players. I've seen good coaches win with good players. It doesn't matter how good you are. If you don't have the talent, you can't do it. Georgia is amassing talent, and you have a man at the helm staff who are really good. And Kirby's going to lose some coaches. He loses coaches every year. He's already lost two this year. Could be more. My point is, if you keep amassing the best players like Kirby Smart's doing and you put them in a position to win, they will win games for you. And you are not going anywhere. Now, if Georgia had like the 35th best recruiting class this year, Georgia was losing some of his best players to the portal, I'd be like, well, Kirby had a good run. But they're only getting stronger. And as you see this is year 9 for Kirby? 2016?
Year 8.
Yeah. So the kids who were in like 6th grade, 7th grade, they're coming, 5th grade, they're coming up. And Kirby's once they started paying attention to college football, Kirby was at Georgia. And then when they were freshmen and sophomores, Kirby was
winning championships. They don't remember the Rick era.
Yeah, they don't. That's my point. So to them, who is the best team out there? It's Georgia. They were the 728-day national champs.
That's a really good point.
Georgia is the gold standard. You wait, you make a big deal out of getting that offer from Georgia. That's where you want to go play. That's the epitome. Georgia is the in fashion. It's the Jordans of football. Everybody wants them. Everybody wants to be part of it. Everybody wants to get what they can't have. It's the rarity. They don't take all these guys.
Even Kirby beyond that,
this past Saturday, let me finish this with this all. He stood in front of a room with the best players in the nation and said, look, if you've got options, we've got options too.
Yeah.
Who the hell says that? So you're supposed to be kissing her ass going, hey, we really want all of you here. And he's like, hey, I don't have time. I can get better players.
Beyond that, look at the recent national champion and who their who their target was. Michigan had a sign in the building of like being ready for Georgia and having to outwork Georgia. That's Michigan. That's not some SEC opponent. That's not Florida and Alabama with Georgia. That is Michigan knowing that to do this, you have to be better than Georgia. Now, this past year, was that necessarily the case? Didn't seem that way. But Georgia is the target for everybody.
No, you're right. People holding up the sign, we want Bama. Anybody had a big win, the student section start chanting, we want Bama. Now they chant, we want Georgia. Mm-hmm. So it's a changing of the guard. It's changing of it. And I don't think we're going to see Kirby Smart fall off anytime. Now, here's the thing. The NFL can come calling, and he can get frustrated with this, but whatever Kirby Smart does, he does to the maximum, with the maximum effort. Right now, his maximum effort is filling out these rosters, and the fact that Nick Saban is not there anymore, and you got the expanded playoffs, you got to think there's going to be good news for Georgia in the future. Anyway, folks, I actually do have to get back to work, and there are a lot of people in the comments section saying that he was actually in Caleb Downs actually has entered his name into the portal. Definitely want to check on that. That's that would be big if he's definitely there, because that means all of a sudden I guarantee you calls are going on today. Every day has been interesting news. Mm-hmm. And if he does pick a school soon, if definitely picks Georgia, we'll jump right back on here with our instant reaction. Anyway, for Dane Young, I brought into Bullsey, and we will see you folks later. Y'all take care.